Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, if you'll find your notes that are there in your bulletin that you got when you walked in, you can see this morning that we're going to look at a subject about maturity. Maturity. How many of you understand that what God wants is for us to grow up and for us to be mature Christians? But the question gets to be, what does that look like? Do I get to determine what's mature or not? No, you don't. The book of James is just a great book on this subject. In fact, I'd encourage you this week to read it. It's only 5 chapters. It's very readable. And James gives us a great description of maturity. And one of the things he says in the first chapter of James, verse 4, he says, it's strong in character and ready for anything. That's a great definition. Because you see, maturity is not your age. I have known some people who are old and who are not mature. And you probably do too, don't you? I mean, we expect children not to be mature. But age alone does not make you mature. It's not your appearance. Well, they look very mature. No, they're not. It's not your achievement. Just because you're a success according to what the world says, that doesn't mean you're a mature Christian. That doesn't mean you've grown up. It's not about how much you know, the academics of things. Just having knowledge doesn't make you a mature person. So what we're going to look at this morning is a little checklist that you can go through about whether or not you are mature in your walk with God. Now, you might be here today and you don't have a relationship with God. You just kind of are here. Well, you know what? A lot of these same things are a great definition just for maturity in general. But we're going to apply it this morning to the Christian. So James tells us what a mature Christian looks like. First of all, a mature Christian is patient in testing. Patient in testing. Now that word we all love, don't we? Patience. Patience. Now, there are two types of tests that every Christian faces. There are two things you're going to have to, in your life, have patience with. It means you're going to have to endure. It means you're going to have to wait. We're not good waiters, are we? I mean, we just, as time goes on, get more and more impatient. You know, the fire didn't cook fast enough, so we made a stove. The stove didn't cook fast enough, so we made a convection oven. Convection oven wasn't fast enough, so we made a microwave. And now, a minute and a half, we're sitting there after a minute going, come on, would you hurry up and get done? You know, the computer starts out, and we think, man, this is the fastest thing alive. And after 2 months, it's, come on, let's move, let's go, right? It's the way we are. We just want everything now. We basically have very little patience. But there's two things in your life that are going to come into your life that you are going to have patience with. You don't have a choice other than being impatient. The first one is trials. Trials. Now, here's what James says in James chapter 1, verse 2. Dear brothers and sisters, whenever trouble comes your way, and it will, won't it? Have you ever noticed trouble seems to find you? Just no matter where you go, it comes, doesn't it? Let it be an opportunity for joy, for when your faith is tested, your endurance, which is tied into patience, isn't it? Your endurance has a chance to grow. Verse 12 of James 1. God blesses the people who patiently endure testing. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Now, the trials are the circumstances of your life. They're the external issues that you have to face. By and large, many of those things are things you do not control. You find yourself, I didn't see this coming. I didn't know this was going to happen. I went into work this day, and now I don't have a job where I had one before. It's the trials of life. I don't understand it. I don't know what happened. I didn't see that coming. I don't understand this. I don't know why this is facing. It's those external things that you and I have to live with every day. And James tells us, and the Bible tells us, that if we're a mature Christian, we can have patience with them. Now, I have found over time that the people who get impatient with trials create more trials for themselves. In other words, I want this over with. I want this done. I want out. I'm going to do this to eliminate all of that. And all you do is complicate everything. So you and I have to understand trials are going to come, and I have to endure them and be patient in them. I can't just snap my fingers and have them gone. We've tried that, haven't we? I can't just wish them away. I can't always just pray them away either. I just have to endure. Now, there's a second kind of testing that comes our way, though, and that's called temptations. Temptations. Now, temptations are the things inside of you. It's the way inside that you have to control. Look at James chapter 1, verse 13. And remember, no one who wants to do wrong should ever say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else either. Verse 14, don't miss this. Temptations comes from the lure of our own evil desires. Where do temptations come from? Me. It's from those desires that I want, and I want to have my way and do my things. Temptations are the internal issues. It's the thoughts that we have. It's the feelings that we have. It's the emotion that we have. It's the idea that I want my way. I want this. It's the selfishness that we have. It's the little voice that says, you can do that. Nobody will ever know. It's the little voice that says, you deserve this. You go ahead and do this. It's not going to hurt anything. You can control this. You can manage this. You can handle this. And it's those temptations that come in that you and I have to understand they are there in our lives. And the Bible says that, you know what, when they come, I have to deal with them patiently. Because let me just make a guess here for a moment. I would guess that most of you at one time or another have gotten impatient with yourself. Why do I do that? Why can't I stop this? Why do I always, how did I do that? Why did I do that? And sometimes when those temptations come, and sometimes when we give in to them, we just get impatient. We go ahead and do what we need to do, realizing, you know what, I need to stop and get back. I need to quit. Christianity, you see, is life. It's how you live. And life means problems. And problems come to us from the outside, and problems come from the inside, don't they? You know, Mark Twain said it best, I think. He said, if I had to kick in the seat of the pants the person who's most responsible for my problems, I wouldn't be able to sit down for a week. And how do you handle the troubles, the trials, the tests, the temptations of life? How do you handle those? You can have all the Bible knowledge in the world, but the real issue is this. Are you patient and positive under the stress of life? When stress comes in, when the problems come in, when the circumstances pile up, when the temptations inside of you just seem to be overwhelming, are you a person who says, I can deal with this, God will help me, and I don't have to look for a magic wand somewhere to get it all over with right now, but that I can endure this patiently, knowing that God is going to help me and I will get through this with his help? That's maturity. The immature, I want my problems over with. The immature, it's their fault for my problems. If I can just get rid of them, I'll be okay. We begin to blame other people. God, why are you doing this to me? God, why are you tempting me? God never tempts you. God, why is this happening to me? And we look for ways to get out, ways to get it over with, ways to get out instead of going through it. And maturity says, you know what? I can be patient in testing. I know that God is in control and God is going to take care of me, and I will do what I can to be responsible for what's going on. But I know that as this goes on and as life plays out and as I have to deal with this, I can see this through and God will be faithful in it, and so will I. That's maturity. Patient, enduring, willing to see it through, doesn't give up, doesn't quit, doesn't say, well, if that's the way God's going to treat me, then I don't want anything to do with him, doesn't blame other people, just understands life brings about the struggles, the trials, the testings, the temptations. That's a part of living, and if I handle them patiently and endure through, God will be faithful to me, and I will grow up. Because we understand, don't we, that God uses all of those to help us grow up, right? Because we grow up in difficulty. I'd like to tell you we grow up, oh, I read the Bible today, the Bible said this, and now I do it. We don't grow up when things are real easy, do we? We don't learn like we should. God knows that it's the difficult times where we grow. So that's one thing about maturity. Second thing, a mature Christian practices the truth. You see, here's the difference. There's a lot of people who say they know God. There's a lot of people, even in America today, 80, low 90 percentile, would say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. But you see, the real mark of Christianity, the real mark of maturity, is obedience. Are you doing, living by the truth? Now, there's two things under this that really get to be difficult. First of all, the truth loves others. Loves others. James 2:8. Yes, indeed, it is good when you truly obey our Lord's royal command found in the Scriptures. Love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, I love everybody. I just don't like everybody. Sorry, that doesn't cut it. You see, are you compassionate with other people? It's very easy to allow life to put you into a place where you get callous towards other people. Where you say, well, they've hurt me, and they've done this to me, and they've done this to me. And you see, you begin to create this shell around you that makes you hard on the outside and on the inside and makes you unapproachable. And then what do? You begin to isolate yourself from other people. Do you understand that you cannot be a Christian and be in isolation? That a Christian is called to love others? That a Christian, according to the Bible, what it says is, if you love God, then you have to show it by loving other people. And love isn't easy, is it? Let me ask you this. You're there in stunned silence, I'm certain. Are you selective in who you choose to get along with? If you do, then you're not a loving person. A mature person loves everyone. But remember the neighbor? Jesus illustrated who our neighbor was, right? It was the story of the Good Samaritan. He was asked that very question, who's my neighbor? And Jesus replied, look, remember the Samaritan story? Guy hurt, robbed, beat up, sitting on the side of the road. Somebody walked by, priest walked by, rabbi walks by, merchant walked. Suddenly the Samaritan comes by and tends to him, takes care of him. Jesus turns to the guy, now, who was the neighbor here of this in this story? Well, it's the guy who offered help. It's the guy who paid attention. It's the guy who didn't walk by, didn't know him, didn't have any relationship with him, but chose to show compassion. How do you treat other people? Now, I'm not done. How do you treat other people, especially the ones you don't get along with? I want you to think of, as you already have, the person right now you have the hardest time getting along with. Now, just don't look next to you right now, okay? Just in case. That person is the definitive of how much you love other people. Okay? If you and I are mature, we can love others. You know, there's an old song used to sing. Give me that old-time religion. Remember, there's a line in it that says, makes me love everybody. It should, shouldn't it? Should. So we practice the truth. What's the truth? I am responsible as a Christian to love my neighbor as myself. Secondly, this truth lives in obedience. Lives in obedience. Look at James chapter 2, verse 14. Dear brothers and sisters, what's the use of saying you have faith if you don't prove it by your actions? That kind of faith can't save anyone. Verse 17. So you see, it isn't enough just to have faith. Faith that doesn't show itself by good deeds is no faith at all. It's dead and useless. Verse 24. So you see, we are made right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. See, what the Bible says is you and I are to put our faith in God, and because of that faith that we have in Him, we now live in obedience to Him. So here's the simple question. If you're a mature Christian, are you obeying God? Let me ask it this way. Is there anything in your life right now at this in this moment that you know is wrong and yet you continue to do it? And if there is, what are you doing about it? Mature people work on it. Mature people try to not do it. Mature Christians say, I've got to obey God. I don't want that to be a part of my life. And you don't give up on it until it's gone. And so you and I are called at maturity to say, you know what? What I need to do is practice the truth. I do what God wants me to do. I love people and I obey God. And that's what makes you and is the character trait of maturity. Number three, and you're really going to like this one. A mature Christian has power over their tongue. In other words, you can control what you say. Now, just hold on to your seat. We'll dive into this, all right? Look at James chapter 3, verse 2. We all make many mistakes. That's true, isn't it? But those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. Verse 5, so also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It's full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction, for it's set on fire by hell itself. Have you ever said something you regretted the moment you said it? And you knew, uh-oh, this isn't good. Verse 9. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it breaks out into curses against those who've been made in the image of God. What's that saying? It's saying simply this. You can't come in here on a Sunday morning, sing all the praise songs that we've just sung, and worship the Lord with your mouth, and then on Monday begin to talk like a sailor. You can't do it. You have to be consistent in your speech. Verse 10. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Let me just say something, because some of you are, well, I just say what's on my mind. Well, evidently your mind doesn't have a whole lot then. Secondly, if you're a person who just says what you think, you are immature. You are an immature Christian. Well, I just say what's right. You're immature. Ephesians 4:29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now, back in chapter 1, James gives an even stronger statement in verse 26. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're just fooling yourself. And your religion is worthless. Well, then I'll just do this, Pastor. I just believe. If you don't have something nice to say about someone, then you should just say nothing. That's real mature, isn't it? That goes right along with loving others, doesn't it? Well, I just won't talk to people. I'll just be quiet. Oh, that's even more mature, right? That's all called immaturity. You and I should be able to talk with anyone and control what we say. Well, I just had this thought. Well, you know what? It was probably a bad thought. You shouldn't say it. Remember, we've already talked about temptations, haven't we? Temptations are on the inside, right? And sometimes you and I are tempted to say some things we shouldn't say. Now would probably be a good time to take a nap for people because it's really quiet. We should be able to talk to other people without being negative, without gossiping, without being critical, without being rude, without being angry, without lying. We should be able to speak in a manner that builds people up, that's encouraging, that we speak the truth in love. Now, sometimes you have to say some things that are difficult, but you can say those things in a manner that isn't beating somebody up. And the Bible tells us, and James tells us here, if you're a mature Christian, you can control your mouth. You can say what needs to be said in a right way at the right time in the right moment. And you don't say one thing when you're with a group and say another thing behind somebody else's back. So what you say is an indication of who you are. Because here's what James said. I just read it. You know, if you can't control your tongue and you think you're a religious person, you're fooling yourself. You're not. You're ungodly. You're immature. I'll go on. A mature Christian is a peacemaker and not a troublemaker. James chapter 4, verse 1. What's causing the quarrels and fights among you? Isn't it the whole, I love this, the whole army? You got a whole battalion of evil desires at war within you. Now you see, well, what's causing the problem? It's the other person. They're just obnoxious. They're rude. They're not doing what's right. They're not being a good person. You know? No. James says, look, it's not other people. It's you. It's the army of evil desires you've got within you. Verse 11, don't speak evil against each other, my dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize each other and condemn each other, you're criticizing and condemning God's law. You're not a judge who can decide whether the law is right or wrong. Your job is simply to obey it. In other words, you're to obey it. You're not the policeman for everybody else to obey it. God alone, who made the law, can rightly judge among us. He alone has the power to save or destroy. So what right do you have to condemn your neighbor? What causes the fights and quarrels in my life? I do. Now, I've tried over the years to blame my wife. It has never worked. And when it comes down to it, I have to recognize it's me. I don't have to create a fight. Well, I want my way. That's called immaturity. Isn't it? A little child has to have their way, and if they don't get it, they throw a little fit, don't they? You and I, if we don't get what we want, we just criticize everybody else. We just blame them. We just make them the fall guy. You should not like to argue. You shouldn't get your feelings hurt. So we come to that place where we recognize, as a Christian, a mature Christian, my responsibility is not to stir things up. There is not a spiritual gift of making trouble. Okay? I am called to make peace? What can I do to make peace? And in making peace, I am not the one appointed to make sure everyone else understands why I'm right. I am not a judge. I put it this way sometimes when I'm doing a memorial service or a funeral. And I'll say this. Over the years, I have presided at a lot of funeral services. And here's what I can honestly tell you. I can never tell you whether somebody is going to heaven or hell, because I don't know what's inside a person. I see the outside, but only God knows the inside. Well, I know they're trying to do this. Please hear this. You never know someone else's motives. If you think you do, you're mistaken. God is the judge. He alone knows all the facts. And I need to allow Him to take care of things. My task is to make peace. It is not my task to make judgments. And if I'm selfish and judgmental, I'm immature. Last one. A mature Christian is prayerful in trouble. Prayerful in trouble. Fifth chapter of James, notice what it says in verse 7. Brothers and sisters, you must be patient as you wait for the Lord's return. There's that word patient again, isn't it? Consider the farmers who eagerly look for the rains in the fall and in the spring, and they patiently wait for the precious harvest to ripen. You too must be patient. Take courage, for the Lord's coming is near. In other words, God's getting ready to come. God's getting ready to be here. No matter what's going on, be patient with what's happening. Verse 11, we give great honor to those who endure under suffering. Job is an example of a man who endured patiently. From his experience, we see how the Lord's plan finally ended in good, for He is full of tenderness and mercy. Verse 13, are any among you suffering? Then keep on praying about it. And if those who have reason to be thankful should continually sing praises to the Lord. Verse 16, confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. You see, a mature Christian understands that as they're going through the difficult times, as they're being patient in the midst of all that's going on around them, what they are doing is constantly talking to God about what's happening, because they know that God is faithful and God will take care of them and God will help them. And they draw strength from that connection that they have in that conversation with God. And the Bible says, you know what? If you pray as a righteous person, a mature person, you've got great power, and there will be wonderful results up ahead. And so we pray. Pray about it. Well, I prayed about it. Nothing's happened. Then be patient as you pray and keep praying. Don't give up. God's not done. God's not finished. We pray about everything. Well, I'm praying. It doesn't seem to be working. No, what you're saying is you're praying and you're not getting what you want. God wants to help you grow. Don't give up on it. Allow God to work. So the question this morning is simply this. Are you a mature Christian? Are you patient in problems? Do you allow, well, Pastor, I've been patient. It's been months. Keep being patient. But Pastor, it's been years. God's not done. Are you living in obedience to God and His Word? Are you doing what's right in God's sight? And are you allowing the words coming out of your mouth to build people up and not tear them down? And are you making peace in the midst of it all? And are you still praying and not giving up? As you look at the list, is there anything there you'd say, you know what, I really need to deal with this issue? Because as we know, God wants us to be mature. Or as James said, strong in character, ready for anything. Let's pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.